good to be home. I feel it. It's wonderful being here, and thankful for. Did everybody have a good new year?
Still having it.
Still having it. Good to hear. I'm glad. All right. Well, this morning we are going into what we call our State of the Ministry. You know how every year we, as a country, we have a president's give a State of the Ministry. Well, I'm planning to do what I do every year, is kind of give a State of the Ministry. And I introduced the new theme for the year. Our theme last year, of course, was Abiding in Christ. And our verses are on the wall. Well, I have banners coming for our new verses, and I'm going to introduce those verses for you this year. And just looking forward to starting our new year right and starting it off with the right kind of heart and thoughts. And I'm going to give away the secret. It's our theme is looking to Jesus from Hebrews. Looking to Jesus. And we need to get our eyes on him. So I'm going to invite you to stand as we do our invocation this morning. And I ask you to read this with me. This is the passages of Scripture from Romans 12, 1 and 2, which are our church verses of the year. And let's read it together. And then we have a prayer that we'll pray together. Ready? Here we go. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Here it is, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, for consider him. And here's the prayer. Let's say it. Our endearing Father, we thank you today as we set our eyes on Jesus. Give us active growing faith as we consider him for this new year. Amen. Let's continue to worship.
Yeah. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 14 and 15.
We were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running there was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
Father, our God, we do praise you that you are a three-in-one God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for having gone through this Christmas season again, where a time when most people, instead of cursing Christ, you hear the name Jesus spoken more publicly and more out there in the open. And we thank you for that, Lord. And in these moments, as we look into a new year, help us to do as we just sang, to fix our eyes on Jesus, to be a people of faith, to be a people who love you, to be a people who want to share the message of Christ and the gospel message for souls around the world. We thank you for our missionaries, and I want to pray this morning for our missionary, Jewel Stewart, who's in Cambodia. And Father, he's only 30 miles from the Thailand border, where there is a border war going on right now. And he said in his thoughts and emails during Christmas Eve, he said that they could hear bombing just on Christmas morning. And Father, I just pray for the country right now that years ago went through what was called the killing fields. It was a very difficult time, and now they have remnants of that coming back in. But Lord, you can take that darkness and you can turn that war into the salvation of Christ, where people are looking for the answers. And we pray that not only for Cambodia, but for here. And Lord, we just pray for our church, our ministry, our churches around us. Lord, we just thank you for the ministry of the work over at New Life Island with Jordan and Esther and their family. And just pray, Lord, that you would continue to work through our church and through the 611 quarter. We love you and we thank you that we are your people. In Jesus' name, we praise you, we give you glory, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. We're going to do something that we do every year that's a little bit different than normal. And so just bear with us. When we go through our business meeting in December, usually a lot of churches, they do their business meetings in January. We do ours in December so that when we get into the new year, we can move on with ministry. And we want to set aside a dedication time this morning where we recognize the new officers that are coming on. And I realize that it being a holiday weekend, we don't have everybody here. I think people are still holidaying, and that's okay. But we're going to mention who our officers are. And so what I'd like to do is I'm going to read off our elders, our deacons, our deaconess, our treasurers, and our church clerk, which are our new officers that we've just voted on. And when I mention you, if you would please just stand where you are. I'm not asking you to come forward. We're just asking you to stay where you are. And then we're going to have a time of prayer and dedication for you as officers of our church. And so there are 23 people, and I don't know if they're on vacation this morning or they're all here, that are our prayer team. Our prayer team ministry is a ministry of the church. That's an unseen ministry. It's a group of people that pray for the workings of our church. If you've ever heard the story of Spurgeon having a boiler room, and when people came to visit the church, they said, would you like to see our boiler room? And, you know, the students from the school or seminary, they were like, why would we want to see the furnace? And he took them down to the basement, opened a door, and there were 200 people on their knees praying for the service to begin. And see, that's what we as a church want to be. And we've always strived to be that. And so we have this prayer team ministry that we renew every November. And people on this prayer team ministry are coming to church constantly praying. You won't see them in the boiler room, but you will see them sitting in the pew next to you, and you won't even know who they are. And they're praying, and we have a prayer closet that they staff and take turns staffing and praying in the prayer closet. And I'm going to ask if the people that are on the prayer team, and you're here today, and when you see the officer stand, what I'd like you to do, if you feel comfortable enough to do it, is to get up and move closer to one of the people that are our new officers and just kind of lay your hands on them in a very biblical way, guys, okay? And we will have a prayer of dedication, and we're going to have one of our prayer leaders going off the prayer team, pray a prayer, and then Sharon, who is coming on to the prayer team leadership, she's going to pray a prayer, and then I'm going to pray a prayer of dedication. So our elders this year, Pastor Seltzer, of course, Tom Hendricks, Paul Cron, I don't see the Crons here today. Deacons are Matt Paul, I don't see Matt here. Jason Berwin, I don't see Jason. Everybody, they're working. Josh Snyder, There's Josh. Bob White, Lucas, Martaccio, Jeff Barsom. Okay, they are our deacons this year. Deaconess Jackie Berwin, Janice McKelvey, Jackie Atkinson, Emma Mulligan, Amy Hendricks. She's in nursery, okay. Peyton Martaccio, Sandy Hendricks. Our treasurer is Diana Smith. Is Diana here? No. Marianne Raymond is the assistant treasurer. Okay. Church clerk is Jen Kunigas. And so here are our officers for the year. And so if you're on the prayer team and you don't mind getting up, I'm going to ask you if you would go find someone, stand with them, and put a hand on their shoulder as a hand of prayer. All righty. So, Tim, are you going to be leading us in prayer?
I can.
Okay. Was that the plan, or did I usurp it, Brenda?
No, that was.
Okay. All right.
Ask her.
All right. So, Tim, why don't you lead us in prayer and dedication for our new leaders for the year 2026? Go ahead.
All right. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to be here today to welcome and install these new leaders of our church. Lord, we thank you for their willingness to serve you. We pray that you will just give them courage and strength. And Lord, just pray that the relationship and walk with you will grow in this time of leadership. And we just are grateful for this church that we're able to have people that step forward, Lord, when the time is needed. And we thank you for the resources that you bless us with. We pray that you will protect them, watch over them, be with their families. And Lord, I just pray that you will just give them a blessing of joy in serving. Lord, we know that when we serve you, Lord, you bring the joy. And we just pray that they will experience that, and they will just be a blessing to our church. We thank you for them in Jesus' name.
Go ahead, Sharon.
Good and gracious God, we just thank you for this day. Lord, just so thankful for this church, and it's full of love, and that's because you're here with us, Lord. And I, too, thank you for all of these special people that have are serving you, Lord, because they love you. And I just pray you protect them, watch over them, as it can be sometimes hard. Life is busy, and I just pray, Lord, that they can just serve you with their whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. I pray, Lord, for each thing that they do. Lord, our goal is to be a light to this community, and I just pray that we can bless you and just glorify you through all things that we're doing here. Use us, Lord, for your good and your glory, and help us to reach the lost here on the 611 corridor, and just be with us all, Lord. And again, I thank you for each and every one of the people serving you here, especially our pastor. Watch over him and protect him, Lord, and Lori as well. And we love you, and just do these things in Jesus' name.
Father, as we just kind of cast our eyes around the room, we just thank you for your blessings. We thank you that we are here to just be your servants, to be your people. Father, I thank you for each one that is taking an opportunity or a term in serving the Lord in some way of whether it's in leadership, whether it's out in front of people or behind the scenes, whether it's discipling people and helping them grow stronger in their faith or leading a Bible study, whether it's sending cards to the shut-ins and birthday cards and anniversary cards, or whether it's making hospital visits, whether it is changing lights in the church or trying to fix the pavement outside or some of the things that are facility-wise, or making fellowship meals or dinners or giveaway meals for the community, or whatever it is, Father, we just give these acts of service to you. The Word of God tells us that when we do that, it is a fragrant offering. It is a welcomed sacrifice. that it is pleasing to God. And so, Father, in accordance to just praying Philippians 4:19 across these new officers this year, and my God will supply all your needs. Doesn't matter what the need is, doesn't matter what the ministry is, Father, you just supply the need. According to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Yeah. Well, I one of the things that I like to do, of course, at the turning of the year is to do a little bit of a review in pictures. And so we're not going to disappoint you. If you would watch your screens, we've got a year in review for you. And we have hundreds of pictures. And I would fill up the whole service just doing, and I know some of you would rather watch the pictures than hear me preach. But just, this is what I want you to think about. What was our theme this last year? Abiding in Christ and the fruitfulness that comes in Christ. This is fruit of this year. Just praise God for it. All right?
Yes, the world will bow down and say you are God. Every man will bow down and say you are King. So let's start right now. Why would we? just want to be with you. We just want to be with you. Just want to be with you. Just want you. I just want you. I just want you. I just want. I just want you. Nobody else will do. Help me out. I just want. I just want you.
Just want. Just want.
I just want you. I just want you.
I just want you.
Nobody else will do. Come on, I just want you. I just want you.
I just want you.
Just to be in your presence, long for your presence. Nobody else will do. God will cry out for you. Send us your presence. If you have your prayer language, just begin to pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, do whatever you want to do. Thank you, Jesus. Fill this room with your presence. Fill every heart with your presence. Fill everyone who's watching with your presence. It's your presence that makes all the difference. Yes, it's your presence. We can speak to the mountain and command them to move. There's fullness of joy in your presence. Depression has to go in your presence. Ah, yes, Lord. Life is in your presence. Abundant life is in your presence. Hope is in your presence. Lord, our world needs hope.
What do you think? Isn't that good? God be the glory, right? God's always working. Well, we're going to dismiss kids at this time for Children's Church, and we're going to show you, did you know Sight and Sounds is putting out a new movie? It's on the Great Awakening. Do we have that ready? Yes. Yes, in my office this time. Yep. Doing trouble. No, actually, that's where the candy jar is. Huh? Okay. I want to show you something that is coming out this year. You remember in 2024, our theme of revival, and we talked about what revival is. There is a new film coming out on revival, The Great Awakening. And this is an introduction of that, and it's coming this year. So go ahead and play that.
You were friends with a preacher? Was he part of the revolution?
George Whitefield was the revolution. From the ocean, the Constitution needs to speak to the heart of these people.
My friends, let us not be asleep, but awake!
Benjamin Franklin.
Reverend George Whitefield.
A match made in heaven.
Or just a deal made in a print shop.
Let us proclaim freedom to the captives!
You're the lightning bolt, George. I am just a lightning rod.
And who is the source, Ben?
One tiny candle illuminates 1,000.
Arise, O sleeper! Awaken!
Amen. You look forward to that? Yeah, all right. All right, if you have your Bibles, please, I just want to invite you to turn quickly to Romans. I don't know why that stuck in my head. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. When was the last time that you wished that life could be better? Maybe it was just this week. Maybe it was this morning. I don't know. But I had a moment, a God moment this week. Lori and I were shopping just before New Year's Eve, and we were in the store, and we were coming around the meat and cheese department, which is my favorite. I just love cheese. In fact, my brother still makes fun of me. When I was a kid, I used to have a speech impediment, and I used to talk with my S's to the side, and I used to say, my favorite cheese and sausage. And so my brother still makes fun of me. Every New Year, he goes, are you having cheese and sausage, Brother Corvin? But I love my brother despite that. But thinking of this idea of better, we were going around the refrigerator section, and I noticed a gentleman who was talking to the clerk very loudly and animated. And he turned suddenly and he laughed with Lori and started making a joke about the price of things being too high. And my recognition just hit me like a ton of bricks. It had been over 12 years since I saw this gentleman last. I put my hand out and I said, brother, it is so wonderful to see you. Do you remember me? Recognition kindled in his eyes and he cried out, well, son of a gun, it's you! I still have the Bible you gave us. His name was Connie. He worked at CFC Logistics in Quakertown for over a dozen years. He's retired, and I really haven't seen him since probably 2012. And we had that wonderful moment of renewal and joy, and it kind of melted away those years of estrangement. And I was working at the time as a chaplain for Marketplace Ministries when I first came here. And Connie and his wife, Renee, and son, Chris, who had Down syndrome, live right over in Trumbowersville, and I had the joy and privilege of introducing them to Christ and giving them a Bible in a time in their life when Renee was going through cancer. And I tried to connect them to a friend's church over in Quakertown, but I lost track of them through the dozen years that have been gone by since. It was just wonderful to, in that moment of recognition, to be able to look up and see somebody you hadn't seen in so long. You know what that's like, right? When God brings back somebody like that into your life. And so how's Renee? How's your son? Wow, she and Chris are just outside, and her cancer has come back, though, and we're working on being in the clear. And this is what he said: boy, I wish life would get better for us. Now, I know that a lot of us, we always think that way, and we always wonder that way, and that's what led me to be thinking about opening our Bibles this year and bringing our theme about to looking to Jesus, a new and better way of living. Because what we need from the book of Hebrews, what the author of Hebrews can give us that we can't give ourselves, is knowing that, you know, sometimes we don't have promises. I wish I could promise everyone here better health, better life, better job, better pay, better no problems, or the problems will get fixed, better family relationships, and nobody will pass away. But we can't promise those things. I wish I could promise a new church building by spring. I wish I could promise 100 more people in our church, but nobody can promise those things. This is God's church, and the thing that he has given us is this idea of look to him and get our eyes off other things. Because I think what happens is we become so immersed in this world, we become so inundated in this world that we get our eyes fixed on the problems. We get our eyes fixed on the situation that we need more money. We get our eyes fixed on the situation that's right in front of us, and or the people that are causing us problems, and we don't fix our eyes on Jesus. And that's what this acknowledgement is, to fix our eyes on Jesus. I have the verses on the screen, or you can follow along as I read them from the scriptures. And I'm going to be reading from Hebrews 12. I'm reading from the New King James this morning. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Now, what the writer is doing is he's following a whole chapter on what faith is. And he talks about faith is not just believing in things that are unseen and having hope in things that are certain, which he says in verse 1 of Hebrews, that's what faith is. But if I were to define faith better for our modern ears, it's this: faith is an active response of obedience to God's word, period. It's not a feeling and wish, oh, I just wish for more. I met somebody this week, and we were talking about grief share. And the person shared with me that they believed that they don't need religion and that stuff from the Bible, but I'm a very spiritual person. And I said to them, well, what's your definition of spiritual? And this is the definition that was given me. Spirituality is just whatever I believe. How can you equal that to God? How can you equal that to a certainty? How can you anchor yourself to that? Because we all are sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. And so he goes on to say, I'm reading the verse, and he's talking about kind of getting ready for a race. He's kind of putting the Olympics. We have the Winter Olympics coming up in February. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, so the idea is that the people of faith in chapter 11 is a witness to us about lives of faith. Other people have sometimes taken that idea of those that have gone on to glory and that are in the stadiums of heaven, the stadium seats of heaven, if earth is the playing field, and we are living our lives out in front of them, and they're looking down upon us. And so let us lay aside every weight. Okay, there are weights in our lives that keep us from running the race for Christ. And if you're a runner, you don't wear a suit of armor. If you're trying to win the mile run, you don't put on a diving suit with big flippers on your feet. And yet, a lot of Christians are trying to run the race for Christ, and just think of all the things that they are juggling in their arms or gathering onto themselves or attaching onto themselves like backpacks and putting on their feet like 15-pound steel-toed boots. You know, that's not going to help in the Christian life. So there are weights that we need to take off, and then there are sins which so easily ensnare us. Yes, we fall to temptation. And he says, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what did he do? He died on the cross. He endured and despised the shame, and everything that he went through for you and me, and sat it down at the right hand of the throne of God. And then there's another passage in Scripture that I just want to, if you take a minute and just flip back to chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 19. And this is a part of the book where he says to the believers, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiness through the blood of Jesus Christ, verse 20, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And this idea in verse 20 of the new and living way, you could put, and I put my emphasis in there, you could put the better way. And we are living lives that are not just hope so. They're not insubstantial. They are the better way to live. And how do we do that? We put our eyes on Christ. So we're going to be studying this new year, starting next week. We're going to be starting the book of Hebrews, which is really about the supremacy of Christ and how great he is and how wonderful he is and all that he is. And because he is better than anything on earth. He is better than our dreams. He's better than our ambitions. He's better than what we want most. You couldn't want anything better for your life than Jesus himself. And we're not about religion. True spirituality isn't just a religious deadness or an oldness. It is having Christ as your personal Lord and Savior of your life. And that is what gives you the endurance to go through this life when life is hard. So that is going to be our study in the days ahead. And I was thinking about that phrase that you find here. And I want you to think, wait, I'm just going to back that up a minute. I want you to be thinking about living your life this year the new and better way. What are some of the sermons that we're going to be covering in the book of Hebrews? I just want to share this by way of introduction. Here are some of the topics that I've been playing around with. Jesus is better than anything you can imagine. Why are there persecutions and times that life doesn't get better for me? Was Jesus afraid to die? Why do we always hide our sins? How can we gain freedom from guilt and shame? Where is true forgiveness found? How do we lose our critical spirit and sense of bitterness? How do we stop trying to please people instead of God? Boy, that's a big one. What sets us as believers apart? How is my life and marriage better? How do we thrive in an unholy culture when life doesn't get any better? How do we look to Jesus? How do we do that? And during the time that we were going through Christmas, and I was preaching on joy, I came across a writer, his name is J.C. Ryle. He was a contemporary of Charles Spurgeon. If you've been around the church long enough, you know that one of my favorite preachers, I could say with all my heart, is Charles Spurgeon. And I've kind of become a self-student of his life, and there's not a book or a writing or a sermon that he hasn't written that I'm weekly looking or tracking down or looking into and learning more about. But J.C. Ryle was a contemporary of Spurgeon, and I don't know if they knew each other, and maybe when we get to heaven, we'll find out that they did. But he was a contemporary of, in the Anglican traditions. Spurgeon was a Baptist, and R.C. Ryle was an Anglican, and he taught in Liverpool. So he wrote a Christmas message called Looking to Jesus. And so I came across it. In fact, I was going to copy it and put it in the Partners in Prayer that we put out here. But it was kind of lengthy. And I thought, you know, instead of that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of read a little bit of what he said in his message. And he says, looking off, looking to Jesus. The word looking off, looking away, means looking away from an object that to the one and only one, looking in a way with a steady, fixed, intense gaze, that the object you're looking at and will observe is the person of Jesus. And so what he tells us is when we look to Jesus, we are taking our eyes off of the things that are distracting us in the race. And we are fixing our eyes and gazing on him as with a trust that is a living trust, with a trust that gains freedom, so much freedom and safety and strength in who Christ is, that it almost makes us a little bit giddy and a little bit reckless and a little bit feeling so secure that we act a little excited. Oh, can't do that. Yes, you can. We should do that. You know, you can get excited. And you can put your heart and your life on Christ because he's a living person. Christ liveth in me. Galatians 2:20, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and died for me. And Christ is living in us. I mean, we need to get our eyes off of our problems and our feelings and our frustrations, and we need to get them on Christ so we can finish the race. Nobody cares what you were like when you start the race. People care about you finish it. It doesn't matter if you start the Christian life and you fall down 20 times or you get discouraged and take a break and sit off on the sidelines for a while. Get back in the race. Get moving again. It doesn't matter. Those things don't matter at all. What matters is that you cross the finish line, and the finish line is Jesus, and the finish line goal is in heaven. And that's what matters. And that's where we need to be. There are three ideas to this look. And R.C. Riley wrote this, and I'm just going to quote it to you. I love how he said this. He said, how do we look to Jesus? Remember, there are three looks in Jesus. There's the backwards look, the upwards look, and the forward look. And we need to make use of them every day. The first is the secret of peace. Backwards is the secret of peace. And what he's saying is that there's no peace unless we look backwards at the cross of Christ. So in our Christian life, with our salvation intact, we look back to what Christ has done. That's what we do at communion all the time, remembering the things that he did for us. We look back because we always need the reassurance. We always need the confidence that our sins are covered, that we are forgiven, that we are secure in Christ. So to get that peace in life and to carry that peace through so other people can see that peace in you, you need to have a backward look. But the idea also is there is an upwards look. He says the upward look, the second secret, is the daily strength and comfort in our walk with God. Little solid comfort unless we look upwards to Christ, who is our intercessor. You remember as we were talking about that just before the beginning of the Christmas series, we were in Romans 8, and we were talking about Christ, who is our high priest, who is our intercessor. And it's the idea that every day, everything that you need to know that Jesus is on the job. He's always praying for you and helping you. And we have that confidence in prayer. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his what? Will, that we will receive it. And so there's this inner strength that grows in our lives. When we are feeling weak, when you are feeling tired, when you feel like giving in, you need to pray upwards, Lord, help, Lord, help, Lord, help, and give me the strength that I need to live for you. And then the third thing he mentions is the forwards look. There is a backward look at the cross, an upward look to Christ as our intercessor and who prays for us. And there is a forward look. And the forward look, he says, is this. He says, the third is the secret, bright, and cheerful hope in a dark world. No bright prospect unless we look forward to Christ coming again. In other words, Jesus is going to come. And you always need to have that hope. So, this is the goals that I want to give us. I'm going to give us four goals that we can do in this new year. Four goals. I know I didn't give you an outline, but you can follow along. And if you want a copy of these things, pick up a copy of the Partners in Prayer, because I did write out the Partners in Prayer. The first thing we need to do is we need to reclaim the power of prayer in our church and in our lives. We're going to be going back down. Every year we go down to America's Keswick, and they have a pastor's conference. And instead of February, it's at the end of January this year. And I don't know why they changed the date on that, but I'm still looking forward to it. It's a time that Lori and I appreciate, and we go down, and we've made friends over the years that we've been down there through the decade of spending time with pastors from all over the country. Dr. Jamie Mitchell is a pastor friend of mine that I've met through the Keswick, and he's, if you ever go online, American Pastors Network. He used to pastor in Lancaster before he retired and moved south, but in his church was the Pennsylvania Senator Sam Rohrer, if you've ever heard of him. And they have a podcast, and they have a network called American Pastors Network, where they talk about the current political trends and things that are happening in the state of Pennsylvania and also across the country for pastors. But he wrote at the beginning of 2025, he wrote a state of the ministry about the church. And he said the number one problem with the church, and I'm going to just read to you what he wrote in that report. Jamie said, I spend a lot of time visiting churches and observing church programming. Some of what I see is subtle, and if I were not looking for it, I might have missed it. But there is an obvious missing piece of many churches' diets, and it is meaningful, specific, concerted prayer as a congregation. Now, if I ask pastors what they're doing in regard to prayer in their ministries, they might say they have small groups and even occasional prayer nights. But I want to challenge pastors and churches, if we are going to reclaim the lost importance of prayer, we need to start with the most important gathering of the church's life, and that's Sunday or weekends worship gatherings as a prayer meeting. And we have since COVID, we've done a lot of changes in our programming of our church. And one of the things that we kind of saw go away from our regular schedule was a prayer meeting time. And we turned our Sunday school into a family hour. But we've been evaluating that and looking at that. And we've even been talking amongst us as congregation and as prayer team that we really want to get a prayer meeting back in order for the church. And so one of the challenges I'm calling us to do is to take that hour, the 9 o'clock hour, from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, and we're going to make that not just our family worship time, but that's our prayer meeting time too. And so we're going to start in here, in the fellowship room, and if you come, like you normally would come for, let's say, family hour, we're all going to gather in there, and at 9 o'clock, we're going to give prayer requests. And we're going to do it differently each week, depending on how many come. We're either going to sit in concentrated prayer for our church together as a prayer meeting. We go over the prayer list. If you look in your bulletin, you see the prayer list. And you see the prayer list is intentionally left blank because we're starting to fill this in again. And if you have prayer requests, you know the cards that are in the blue chairs in front of you, you pull those cards and you write prayer requests. And you put them in the giving box so that we can have updated prayer requests. And if you've given prayer requests before and you don't see that prayer request, we're not going to put it back on until you re-give it. Because we get too used to seeing the prayer requests there over and over and over, and we don't even pray for them. And we want people to be praying for for the prayer request because we believe in prayer. We believe that God answers prayer. Remember our verse from the first of the year, without me, you can do what? Nothing. And nothing is going to happen in this church. Our church isn't going to build a new building. Our church isn't going to grow. Our church isn't going to see soul saves unless we are praying. We need not to be a church that prays occasionally. We need a church be a church that prays. And so I'm challenging you, if you don't know how to pray or you feel self-conscious about prayer, that you come to our prayer meeting time and we're going to train you. We're going to pray with you. We're going to help you learn to pray and grow in your prayer life. And if that grows, and see, my prayer is that we'll just outgrow that room and we'll have to move throughout the church. Maybe you're coming and you're a new Christian or a new believer and you don't have somebody discipling you. Can I encourage you to walk up to somebody and say, will you disciple me? And then come at that time and we'll find a place for you somewhere that you can do discipleship together. I mean, why not take advantage of the prime time? And we're not asking you to come out another night of the week or to give of yourself another day of the week. Just use the day and the time that we have. Come on, we can't get lazy in this. We need to be a people of prayer. So that's number one goal for the new year. Here's the number two goal. We need to revive our sense of being Berean Christians. What do I mean by that? Well, take your Bibles and turn to Acts 17 real quick. Acts is in the New Testament. It's after Matthew, Mark, Luke, and George. Oh, did I do that on purpose? Yes, I did. What is it? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and what? John. Okay, know our Bibles, right? Do you know, last week, this is what gave me this sense. Last week, I shared with you It was a recent study that's done by Pew Research, and it was done to over 400,000 professing Christians of all denominations and even unbelievers. And well, let me read the scripture first, and then I'll share with what happened. And in Acts 17, while Paul was on his missionary journey, he came to a place in Berea, which is in Greece. And it says in verse 10, then the brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went to the synagogue of the Jews. And like we come to church on Sunday morning, they went to the synagogues on the first day of the week because the Jewish people didn't have services there. And so they would gather and as Christians in those places. In verse 11, and those are the people of that city, the people of that church were more fair-minded, some translations say noble-minded, than those in Thessalonica where they just left, in that they received the word of God with a readiness. Do you know what that means? That means they ate it up. They loved God's word. They hungered for God's word. They loved the word of God. And not only did they receive it with readiness, they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. What does it mean to be a Berean? It means to be in the word of God all the time, not just on Sunday mornings, not just less than three times. The study that I was telling you about is this study that reports the power of four. The effect from the Research Center for Bible Engagement said this. Those who engage in scriptures 1 to 3 times per week, if you only read your Bible in private devotions just 3 times, there shows no measurable difference in the outcome of your life compared with those who read it 0 times. In other words, there's nothing about you that looks different than an unbeliever. But I go to church. Doesn't matter. There's nothing in your life that is showing that is any different than a believer. The way you talk, the way you think, the way you do your work, there's nothing influencing you that's showing any different. The significance in behavior were reported that the outcomes began to appear only when people read their Bibles at least 4 times per week. So the power of four is this. The study went on to show this. I'm going to show you this. The power of four reported that if you read your Bible 4 times a day in the week, it lowers the odds of excessive drinking and drunkenness, sex outside of marriage, pornography use, gambling, and other risk behaviors of greed. and it hires on. In fact, it hires almost 200 to 400%. That if you're reading the Bible four times a week, you're more likely to share your faith with someone, disciple someone, memorize scripture. So thy word have I hid in my heart that I may know what? Sin against God. And that the magnitude of these, for example, memorizing scripture will be more effective in your life, that other people will start going, what is different about you? So that's pretty convincing, isn't it? So are you going to be a Berean with the power of four? You know, one of the things that I'm going to do this year, you know those little bracelets? Anybody have any one of those little Bible bracelets, the rubber bracelets that you get printed out? Anybody have one on today? Okay, Niels does. What does yours say, Niels? Oh, who strengthens me? Cool. Anybody else have one? You have the same one? Okay, you know what? We're gonna get a bracelet that says Power of Four. Looking unto Jesus. And I'm encouraging you, and I might even put on there, we're Bereans. Okay, why? Because do you know, last week, and I can honestly say this kind of a good thing. Remember when I gave the reference of God's phone number? Do you remember the reference for that? What is it? Okay, on the PowerPoint, I said what? I said 3:33. I had dyslexia. And I didn't catch it. And I'm standing at the door, and a group of people come up to me and go, that wasn't the right passage. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Thank you. That's Berean. That's looking to see if what I'm saying is true. And if it isn't, you come back and you say, that's not in the Bible. There's a problem there. And I'm thankful for that. How many of you caught that? I know a couple of you did, and then I had a whole another group come. You meant Jeremiah 33:3. See, that's the power of four. That's being a Berean. And so one of the goals that I have for you this year is not only prayer, changing the way you pray, or upping your prayer, is this idea of being a Berean. I am going to put all year bad scripture references in my PowerPoints. And you're going to find them. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to see if you're going to be a Berean. Here's the third one. Renouncing old things and idols. Remember if you turn back to Hebrews 12, remember he says, the weights and the things that are sins that easily beset us. There are things in our lives that we need to kind of take inventory and make sure that they're not in control of our lives. And sometimes I think that we as Christians don't mean to do this, but what we do is we make little changes in our lives. And at the starting point of the change, let's say this stool is the moment of decision and you're going this direction, okay? And you make a decision and you only make it this teeny little change, okay? And at the point, you don't realize it, but when time passes, Tom, stand up. Instead of being at Tom, now you're over. Josh, stand up. Hi, Harvey. Now you're over here. And you shouldn't be over here. You're not over here with Tom. You said, but it was just a little, yeah. One little choice, one little angle at the moment doesn't mean much. But if you continue on a path, you're going to be at a distance. And we do that with God. Go ahead and sit down, guys. We do that with God. There are things in our lives that I call them the quadruple A. The quadruple A, yeah. You've heard of triple A. Okay, triple A when your car needs it. You've heard of triple A when the AAA meetings for recovery. You've even heard of AAA sports, you know, because the championship, you want to be in a 3A championship group. But this is the quadruple A's. C.S. Lewis said our hearts are idol factories, and this is what I call the four biggest fooling idols in our lives, and here they are. Come on. Acceptance. Acceptance is the first one. I think that we are always looking for other people to accept something about us or getting permission or trying to please others and instead of pleasing God. Acceptance can be the first idol. If we're all about trying to get something's acceptance instead of God's acceptance, we have our eyes off Jesus. Here's the second one. Appearance. Every time this year you look in the mirror and you're like, I gotta lose 20 pounds. You're worried about your appearance. You're worried about your diet. You're worried about your health. You're worried about, we're always worried about our appearances. And if we're not careful, it becomes an idol for us. We don't mean it to, but it does. Here's the third one. Appearance, acceptance, affluence. Okay, this is when things are going really well for you and you start getting money and it all becomes about the money. And this is the biggie. When you start looking at what other people have compared to you and why don't I have that and why don't I have better, affluence becomes your idol. And here's the next one. Are you helping me, Jen? Somebody? Because I'm hitting this button. I'm up here going click, 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 click. I look like the guy on the watching TV, you know, click, 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 click. And it's not moving. Achievement. You know, you're trying to make a name for yourself. You're trying for something for prestige. You need to run the race. Here's the fourth goal. We're present, active, indicative faith. Present, active, participle faith. What I mean by that is simply, again, faith is an active response to obedience to God's word. It's not a wishing. It's not a sitting down. It's not a knowing and not doing. In James chapter 1, verses 18, 19, and 20, it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If a man looks in a mirror and he walks away and he forgets the things that he heard, most people forget 70% of everything that they hear on Sunday. And we are like that. We become forgetful hearers. But if we have real faith that's active, present, and working, we're going to remember and do and live out. And that's what we need to do more to run the race with Jesus. So when your faith is feeling heavy this year, fix your eyes on who? Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for just the reminder of your love, your grace, your truth. And Father, I just thank you that it says in Psalm 100, verse 3, we are your people. You made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of your pasture. So, Lord, we need better faith and belief to get our eyes off of the things in our lives that we squander and try to manipulate and try to work out for ourselves. And we need to be like Bereans, and we need to get our eyes on Jesus. So we hope that you will help us to live and grow with a vibrant faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you please stand? Let's live out that faith.
Sent his son.
in, close. This is what I did with little Olivia yesterday. Open, close. Open, close. Now do it fast. Hey, does he live? Well, as you go today, the Lord just bless you and keep you and give you, let his face shine upon you, and may you find greater, more noble things this new year. And may you keep your eyes on Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wait. I got to do this as an announcement. If you can stay today to help